We have finally reached Perek Gimel of Chavakuk. And Chavakuk, as we have seen, is very organized. In Perek Aleph, he complains about the advent of Bavel and asks the Ribbono Shel Olam, he complains a lot, why are there constant enemies? And he asks Hashem, for how long will it go on? In Perek Bet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him and tells him, don't hold your breath. But he doesn't exactly say that. That's my language. Because Yesh Chazon LaMoed, remember, there's a lot more Nevuah that's going to happen before the time of eternal peace. And I want you to know that Bavel, as a nation, will be destroyed. Not working. In Perek Gimel, Chavakuk accepts what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. He apologizes. It starts, Tfilah l'Chavakuk Hanavi al Shig Yonot. This is a Tfilah of Chavakuk the Navi, and if you remember, most of the Mefarshim say Shig Yonot is Shigiyot, meaning I made a mistake. They follow Targum Yonatan. Targum Yonatan translates this Shigyonot as, I made a mistake. I didn't realize that we needed to have Ashur and Bavel and all the other nations as a result of our own actions. And we know, or should know, that if we do tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is immediately ready to welcome us. So they all say, except for the Malbim, they all say, Shigyonot, Shigyot, I made a mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I was complaining. It's interesting that the Malbim says, and it might be in the Sansino, I'm not sure, but I know that some of the old English translations acted as though Shigayon is a musical instrument, like in Tehillim, like we have Lam Natsayach, right? No, Shigayon le David. Shigayon. That's very interesting. He just says Shigyonot. But it's interesting that he translates it. The Malbim says Min Klei Zemer.
Yeah. And he just said the superscription of Psalm 7. The term has been defined as, quote, a dithyrambic poem in wild, ecstatic, wandering rhythms.
Wild, ecstatic, wandering rhythm. Okay, we'll see. I want to remind you what we said at the end of last week's class. It's very important. This is read as a Haftorah on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot, on Shavuot in the Galut, the second day of Shavuot. That means, my friends, that it has to talk about Har Sinai, because it's Shavuot. So there's something here about a revelation. Remember the Haftarah that we read on Shavuot, the first and only day here. We read Yechezkel, right? We read the Merkava. In the Galut, we read this, starting from the last pasuk of Perek Bet, which is gorgeous. V'Hashem beheichal kadsho has mipanav kol haaretz. Hashem is in his holy sanctuary. Hats. Be silent before him, all of the earth. And this is the moment that Chavakuk says, okay, I made a mistake. I understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you're telling me. And so, Tfilah l'Chavakuk HaNavi, this is the Tfilah of Chavakuk, al Shigyonot, Slicha, about his errors or on his musical instrument. Pasuk Bet. Hashem, shamati shemacha, he says. Hashem, I heard your message. And when he says I heard, it's not just this, but I understood, right? I heard, understood, and accepted your message. Yoreti Hashem pa'alach. However, I must tell you, Hashem, that I am really afraid of these actions, of your actions, what you are telling me is going to happen in all the long years of Galut. I'm worried about the way you're telling me you're going to act. Bekerev shanim chayehu. In the midst of all the years, because remember that the main message of Hashem is that there are going to be many, many years until the time of Geula. In the midst of all those years, keep him alive. The him being Am Yisrael. So in the midst of all those long years, I'm really worried what is going to happen to Am Yisrael in the midst of all those years. And I'm asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to keep him alive. Bekerev shanim todia. In the midst of all those years, sometimes make it known. I'll explain in a minute. Make it known. Berogez. And when you are angry, meaning angry at Bnei Yisrael, Rachem Tizkor, then remember your compassion. So the Navi begins by saying, I understand and accept everything you said to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm very worried about the future of Am Yisrael during those terrible long years. And in the midst of all those years, I'm asking you to keep them alive. And the Malbim says that first one, Bekerev Shanim Chayehu, keep him alive at a time that there are no overt nisim. That there's nothing that you could tell that will let the nation know that you are still there in the midst of the dark years when you won't show yourself overtly. And the second one, Bekerev Shanim Todia. And I'm also asking that in the midst of those dark years, that you will choose from time to time to make yourself overtly known through some kind of nes where they will recognize your presence. And I'm also asking that if they make you angry, that if it's a time of shmad, that if it's a time of trouble for Am Yisrael where they are not following Torah, that you remember your rachamim. That's the point, my friends, of this whole last perek. He's going to devolve everything, the entire tefillah will devolve around these three ideas, which are the idea that he's asking Hashem, keep him alive through the darkness. Make yourself known from time to time with miracles. And when you're angry, remember compassion. Be compassionate. That's the topic. It's like a topic sentence. And he then says, and this should sound familiar to you, Eloka mitei man yavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come from Teman, Teman meaning the south. It doesn't necessarily mean Yemen. It means the south. Hashem will come from the south, and the Malbim has a take on it, which we will see. The Kadosh and the Holy One, Mehar Paran, will come from Har Paran, Sela. Right in the middle of a pasuk, it says Sela. And then there's more to the pasuk, Kisa Shamayim Hodo. The heavens have covered his glory, Utihilato Malaharet. And even though the heavens cover his glory, his tehillah, his praise, fills the land. But the Selah breaks that pasuk up, because Selah is like full stop. Right? Like a full stop. So we have, does that sound familiar? God comes from, will come from Teman, the Kadosh Mehar Paran, and the Holy One will come from Har Paran. When? At the time of Geula. I want to read something to you, though. It comes from Vizota Bracha. Vayomer, Hashem mi Sinai ba, Vizarach mi Seir lamo. Hashem came from Sinai and shone on them from Har Seir. Hofia mehar paran. He appeared from Har Paran. Va'ata me rivavot kodesh. And came from or with his thousands of holy people, his angels. Mimino eshtat lamo. On his right hand, there's a fire, eshtat, a fire. He's carrying the Torah. Eshtat. Eshtat, the fire of dat, a dus. Holy, a religious person. Dat, the beginning of Zota Bracha. Do you remember what that means, that pasuk? It's the second pasuk bet. Let me read you the Rashi. Vayomer Hashem mi Sinai ba. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, the Zota Bracha, right before his death. He says, Potach tchila b'shivcho shel makom. He opens his final message, Moshe Rabbeinu, by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lovid. V'achar kach patach b'tzarkehem shel Yisrael. And once he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to go to the needs of Am Yisrael. U'vashevach shepatach bo, and in the praise that he opened with, Yesh bo haskarat zechut Yisrael. There's a mention of the merit of Yisrael. Did you get it? Where was the merit? Don't answer. Especially if you don't know. Then it helps. Okay, please note, he's saying, there's something in the pasuk that I just read to you that Moshe Rabbeinu opened by praising Yisrael, okay? Just put it into the hopper, right? V'chol zeh derech ritzui hu. And he's trying to like make HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel good about Am Yisrael. Klomar, that is to say, kadai heim elu. These people that I've been leading all this time are worthy. Shetachul aleihem bracha. They're worthy that a bracha should rest upon them. So very simply what Rashi says, I see that there are some people who are getting the idea. Very simply what Rashi is saying is this opening pasuk, remember the first pasuk is Vizota Bracha Sheberach Moshe Pnei Yisrael Lefnei Moto. Slicha. We won't talk about how I got a cold again. But however, he starts with Hashem mi Sinai ba. Remember again? Hashem came from Har Sinai, Vizorach mi Seir Lamo, and shone upon him from Har Seir. Hofia mehar paran, and that's here. Here it just, instead of Har Seir, says, remember, Teman. And then it says Har Paran, but it's very similar otherwise. What are we talking about? I want more pointed. What are we talking about? Hashem mi Sinai ba v'zorach mi Seir lamo. Cain! We're talking about Mama Har Sinai. Sorry, let me take another drink and we'll take another cough drop. We'll be much better. We're talking about Ma'amad Har Sinai, and we're also talking about Ma'amad Har Sinai in the Habakkuk. But I want to go a little bit more. I'm not finished with you. Back to the Rashi on Vizot HaBracha first. Mi-Sinai ba. You would think that it would say, not Mi-Sinai ba, he's going to Sinai, right? Why does it say Mi-Sinai ba? Sorry. Yatsa likratam, you remember this, you're just not putting it with this pasuk. Yatsa likratam kishebau lehit yatsev betachtit ahar. He came out to greet them when they came to step, when they came to stand beneath the mountain. Kechatan hayotze lahakbil pnei kala. That Rashi's in Zot HaBracha, that's what I'm reading to you.
But the Chatan then comes down from wherever he's standing, and he comes where the Kala is walking down and goes to bring the rest of the way to the Chuppah very often.
It's interesting that we don't have that image. But sometimes it happens, the minhag is that the chatan comes down. And it would seem that Rashi has that image. Because Rashi says, and I'll read it again, Kechatan hayotze lahakbil pnei kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down from Har Sinai as though he is welcoming Am Yisrael to the chuppah. Right? To the wedding. To the chuppah. Shenemar, as it says in Shmot Yutet, that talks about Ma'amad Har Sinai, Likrat Elokim. They came towards God. Lamadnu Sheyatza Kenegdam. We learned that a Kadosh Baruch Hu went out to greet them. So that's first. We're talking about Ma'amad Har Sinai. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, moved forward to greet them like a chatan. Vizarach mi seir lamo. Remember? Vizarach mi seir, he shone upon them, lamo, from seir. Shepatach livnei Esav. Har seir is the place of Esav. And you know that Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, went to the children of Esav and he said to them, I have a Torah, will you accept it? And they said, what's in this Torah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Tirtzach. And they said, it's Midrash, of course. And they said, you know what? That's not for us. Shepatach livnei Esav shiakablu et haTorah, that they should accept the Torah, v'lo ratzu, and they didn't want. Hofi Elohem mehar paran. He appeared to them from har paran, shehalach sham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went there, upatach livnei Yishmael. And he opened, meaning he went there first. To the children of Yishmael, Sheyekabluha, that they should accept the Torah, v'lo ratzu, and they didn't want it. And the Medrash, it says, he said to Bnei Yishmael, maybe you'll accept my Torah. And they said, what's in that Torah? And he said, lo tignov. They said, you know what? Not for us. V'ata l'Yisrael. And you must have said something funny, but it didn't come all the way up here. Say it again.
How much does it cost?
He said it's free, so we said I'll take two. That's the old joke, you're right. At any rate, Ata he came to Yisrael me rivavo kodesh, v'imo mikse rivavot malachei kodesh. And with him, when he came back to Yisrael, after asking Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Esav, came to Yisrael with some of the thousands, tens of thousands of malachim. Lo kulam velo rubam, not all of his malachim, velo kederech basar vadam, not like a human being, shemare kol kavod ashro betifarto biyom chatunato, who shows all of his wealth. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take all of his malachim, it would have been overwhelming. What we just read in Habakkuk is a replay of what it says in Vizot HaBracha. He is saying,
why doesn't Habakkuk just use the Shloshes Midot, the Hashem Hashem Kerachum?
That's not what he's saying.
Why doesn't he?
That's not what he wants to say. What is he saying? He doesn't want to say the midot of Hashem. That's not the point. The point is, what's the point of what he's saying? I don't want you to miss it completely. It's the point of during the time of the Geula, there will once again be a revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear. What he's saying is, I'm going to read the Malbim, it'll help. I'm sorry I messed you up, but I love this. You'll like it when you understand it. Okay? So let me read this. Hold on. Okay. Eloha mite manyavo. Hahanhaga hazo timasheich. In other words, the actions of Hashem that we read about in the previous Pasuk, during the long dark Galut, when he will either not show himself at all, there will be Hester Panim, if I could use that term without getting you all confused, and whether there will be times that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will show with a miracle that he is present. All those long years of galut, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act until Ad sheyagia eit ha-geula, until the time of geula will come, she'oz yavo Elokam miteman, at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come from Teman, lig alam, to redeem them, umitzayer. And he is describing ki hagalut acharon titchalek bein shnei malchuyot, that the final galut will divide itself between two kingdoms, shehe malchut Edom, hametsuyenet b'shem Teman, that he is pointing to, that he is calling by the name Teman, she Teman hi be'eretz Edom. We're talking about the land of Edom. Edom is Rome. Umalchut, and the kingdom of Yishmael. Hamitzuyenet b'shem Har Paran, that is pointed to by the name Har Paran. Kmoshe katuv esel Yishmael vayeshev b'midbar Paran. Remember Yishmael, when he goes away from Avraham, he dwells in Midbar Paran. Umisham yavo Hashem liga'alam, and from there, literally from these two kingdoms that are controlling the world at the time of Geula, Hashem will come to redeem them. V'hinei tafas hamalitza sheniskara batorah, and he's using the same description that Moshe Rabbeinu used in the Torah, b'birkat ish elokim, in the bracha of Moshe, which is zorach mi seir lamo, what I just read to you. So I didn't take it out of the out of the woods. I took it from Malbim, right? Basically, what's very interesting, and I think why you missed it a little bit, is because when the Nevi'im talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Har Sinai, they don't really refer to the giving of the Torah. They are referring to the appearance, the Hitgalut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. The point is Hester Panim versus totally overt appearance of Hashem, revelation, what we call revelation. And this is why we read this on Shavuot. Yes, on Shavuot. I see your hand, wait. The Nevi'im, usually when they talk about Har Sinai, they do not talk about getting the Torah. Doesn't mean they're not saying anything. They know that we got the Torah on Har Sinai. But the point the Nevi'im are making is that all during the times of the Galut, we go through not understanding where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, not seeing his Hashkacha. We don't see clearly what Hashem is doing today. Once in a while, something happens, and all of us say, that was a miracle. It couldn't have happened. It had to be a miracle. It's impossible that it would have happened under the normal rules of nature. So that's the second part. In other words, A, walking through Hester Panim. B, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes shows us a miracle. And Gimel, Geula, will be a total revelation of the presence of Hashem. Hashem will appear. We will understand that Hashem has come to redeem us. Yes?
I'm missing something. I understand that Teman means essentially Christianity, and Paran means Islam, right? What does it say that? What does it tell us that Hashem is going to come from?
Okay, I understand. I think the question is, what does it mean when it says he's coming from them? That's your question. It means that he is going to take away their oppression of us. He takes care of them first. Just like he opened at Har Sinai, before he came to us, he went to them and he said, you want to remember that they're the sons of Abraham. You know, we have a big problem. That with, you know, with the Yishmaelim and with Esav. They come from our family. They're our relatives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered them the Torah. At the end of days, they are going to be our biggest enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will...
It's already happened.
There's no question that it's Etchalta de Geula. We just don't know where we are. But basically he will take care of them and then appear in his full glory.
What part of this is his tefillah and what part of it is his nevuah?
It is tefillah, which is nevuah, like tefillat chana.
Tefillat chana, I think, is a pure tefillah.
But that's where her nevuah... Yes, it was. Remember? And I'm sorry to just, I don't mean to just address one person. Please, that was a good question. It's a tefillah, which is nevuah, and I said like tefillat chana. And please remember that chana's nevuah is in her tefillah. Sorry. All the psukim, give me a second. I'm really sorry. I was better. This is a Yerushalayim cold. This is strictly Yerushalayim cold. Tfilat Chana, if you look at all the psukim, she is predicting the future of Am Yisrael. She talks about what's going to happen to Am Yisrael. Tzvi vatit palel chana vatomar. Vatit palel chana. That's her tefillah. You're getting mixed up with that original. What? It's going to be so much better in a minute. Okay. You'll see. I have two cough drops in my mouth. You are confusing Chana's request for a child with Vatit. No, that's not the Hatzfilah. Because it says Vatit Palel Chana. Please go look. That's Vatit Palel Chana is afterwards. After she has, go look, I promise.
No, what I'm saying, I understand, and you're right. I would never argue with the teacher.
But I'm saying
that her tefillah was for a son in order to be a king for Israel. He doesn't want to be king.
But that which is called just, you're not listening. You're not listening. What it says in Sefer Shmuel, Aleph, Vatit palel chana vatomar, alatz libi b'shem. That's the shira, but it says what? What does it say? Vatit palel chana vatomar. Here it says exactly tefillah. It's exactly the same thing. It is a tefillah that is nevuah. Because he is davening, he is accepting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and he is giving us pure nevuah. Pure. It's just like Chana, again. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, it's okay to ask questions. It's really okay. But it is a tefillah that is a nevuah, and it's a tefillah because the Navi is admitting that he was wrong, and he is getting a nevuah about Hashem, how he functions and how he will function. Because what's going to happen here is he's going to take these four periods of time. A period in which there is total darkness and we don't see miracles. A period in which there is darkness, but Hashem comes and breaks out and gives us a miracle in the midst of Galut. A period where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to have rachamim, because he is angry at Am Yisrael. And then the Geula, in which there is a total revelation. That's the whole perek here. That's the tefillah, which is the nevuah. He's using the term tefillah the way it's used with Chana. So basically, he's going to keep going back and forth between these different periods. For instance, when he's talking about the time of total darkness in which we don't sense Hashem's presence, starting from the middle of that pasuk, those of you who are following, you know, because it says Selah, and the Selah is a break, full stop, and you have Kisa Shamayim Hodo, and it's as though the Shamayim is the phenomenon of natural life, the heavens cover, so to speak, his glory. We don't see his glory in the Galut. Utihilato malah haaretz, nevertheless, his praises fill the land. Vinoga ka'or tihiyah. Noga is reflected light. Noga comes like from the moon, a body that does not give light in and of itself, but reflects the light of a body that gives light. At the time of darkness, we won't really see Hashem's presence as light, it'll be like light that's reflected. Noga. But the Noga from time to time will be very strong. It'll be like great light. Karnayim miyadolo. It's as though Hashem sends out Karnayim here, a rays of light. That Hashem will send rays of light through the gloom to remind us with a nace or something that he's there. Visham chevyon uzo. And that is the hidden place. It comes from the hidden place of his strength. In other words, at the time that he's hidden, chevyon, chavoy, hidden, secret, at the time that Hashem is not showing us his presence, at the time of galut, he will from time to time send out rays of light that will remind us that he is there. The rays of light of the Nisim, the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Lifanav yelech dover v'yetze reshef l'raglav. Before him, there will be, dover is like plague. In other words, there are times, this is talking about that pasuk that said anger. When Hashem gets angry, then he will send a plague, dover, v'yetze reshef l'raglav, and reshef is burning coals. Reshef is like ritzpah. And there are like burning coals on his feet. Let's see how the Malbim handles this pasuk. Lifnei ha'oz ha'chavoy, before that strength of Hashem that is hidden, lahadbir ulahamit et oivav. But that ray of light that he sends out, he'll do a miracle. Lahadbir, did you ever realize that lahadbir, which we use for exterminating today, comes from the word dever. Lahadbir. I never realized it until I saw it in the Malbim here. In other words, how does he send out that ray of light? Because there will be some enemy, it will make him angry, and he will send out a plague to destroy his enemies. For Reshef and the burning coal, Hainu, the Sibatola Hashmidam Ula Avdam, Shehagam Shitiash Kachanis Teret. Even at a time that the Hashkacha is hidden, that the presence of Hashem is hidden and covered over, Bacholzot, he Chaya Virabat Pale. It is alive, it is there, and it does many actions. Even at the time that we don't really sense Hashem's presence during the Galut, he's there, he's acting, he's watching, and there will be suddenly something that happens to an enemy. That enemy will be destroyed. And that's that idea of Hashem sending a miracle to remind us. All this is through the galut. Amad. But this is where he's showing himself. Amad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands. Vayimodeid Aretz. I really apologize. I thought I would be able to do much better than this. Hold on. Okay. Amad, he gets ready. I'm also forcing my voice a little because we don't have this. When Hashem gets ready to act, he can measure the earth The Malbim says he looks at the earth and he's going to switch the places of nations. He's going to destroy one kingdom, bring another kingdom. V'yater goyim v'yitpotetsu harei ad sachu givot olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to act against some of the nations, then he can divide up the land. He can change kingdoms. He destroys leaders. He brings others. And he quiets the great people of the earth. When it says Harare Ad, the ancient, the eternal mountains, it means leaders who have been there from days of old. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can just wipe them out in a minute. And when it says give ot olam, the eternal hills, it's also leaders that have led for a long time. But when Hashem is ready to act, that Ahmad is, he's ready to act, he stands, then he can change the world in an instant. Everything is just moved around. Halichot olam lo. The ways of the world belong completely to him. Everything that happens in the world is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. Tachat oven ra'iti ohalei kushan yirgizun yiriyot eret Midyan. We are talking about Midyan again. And Kushan here is Kush. So he says, because of their evil, I saw that something was going to happen to the tents of Kush, and I saw that the curtains of the tents of Midyan were trembling. And what does he say that he sees? He sees a time of the beginning of the Geula. According to the Malbim, who is it that he sees that live in the land of Kush and in the area of Midyan? It's so interesting because, you know, when the Malbim lived, he did not know that there would be Jews that came from Kush. And yet this is the way he interpreted. He says, I'm going to read it to you. It's so interesting. Ata matchil lefaresh mashit amar elokami teiman yevo. Remember back, Hashem is going to come from Teiman at the time of Geula. At the time of the Shehu mashi yiyeh kishe yevo eit ha-Geula. This is what's going to happen when Geula is going to come. He's saying, who are the first Jews who are going to come back? She'az yinoseis neis lehit noseis beniflim v'niflaim v'nisim lamala miderech teva. There are going to be wonders way greater than anything normal. Umitzayer t'chalat ha'niflaot. And this is the beginning of the wonders. She'yomar la'asher b'choshech he galu b'choshech d'haynu aseret hashvatim shehiglu me'ever l'naharei Kush. The people on the other side of the river of Kush will come back, he says. Yashuvu, they're going to come back. K'mo shekatuv me'ever l'naharei Kush, which comes from Yovilu Minchati, which comes from, I believe, Yirmiyahu. And basically, the people from Yishmael, in other words, we're talking about the people from Yishmael, the people from the Esav, just like we did before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's your answer, by the way, Dov. I just realized that this is the answer. What he does is he keeps going back to the original three or four ideas. He's saying now, why is he coming from there? because the first thing he's going to do is he's going to take out the people from the Aseret HaShvatim that are stuck there in the area of Cush and the area of Midian. I forgot.
Who's in Midian?
I forgot. What?
Who's in Midian?
Midian is, again, the south. You know, in other words, the south. So it's also, it's really talking about people from Cush, you know? He's going to take them out of the descendants, I think it's really the descendants of Esav, meaning Rome, and the descendants of Yishmael, meaning the Middle East. So he's going back to that same idea again. And then there's a very interesting pasuk. Havin harim chara Hashem. Did Hashem get angry at the rivers? Im banaharim apech. Is your anger going to be taken out on the rivers? Im bayam evratech. Evra is also anger. Remember in the Haggadah, Evra, Vaza'am, Mishlachat Malachei Ra'im? Is your anger on the ocean, on the sea? Kitir Kav Al Susecha, Markavotecha Yeshua. That you ride on your chariots, right? You ride on your horses and your chariots of Yeshua. What he's saying also at the time of Geula is not only is he going to start with Cush and Teman, but he is then going to dry up all the rivers. And the Navi is saying poetically, what is it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're angry at the rivers that you cause them to dry up? If you remember, in Yeshayahu, there's a very similar idea in Perek Yud Bet, where he says, yes, that's my phone, ignore it. In Perek Yud Bet, he talks about the fact that when there will be a Geula, we will again be able to go across rivers. There will once again be a crossing like when we went across Yam Suf. There will once again be a drying up of riverbeds and we will walk on dry land. And so he's saying here, poetically, Rabboni Shlom, what's going on? Are you going to dry up all the rivers? Is it that you're angry? And it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu just dries up all the rivers because not only the people who are coming from Cush and Teman have to come back, but all the Jews have to come back from the lands of their Galut. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it easier for them at that time by drying up the rivers so that they can walk on dry land. Erya Teor Kashtecha. This is a very strange pasuk, and he's bringing in an interesting metaphoric idea that's a little hard to translate and explain. It's hard to translate for sure, and to explain it's even more difficult. Erya Teor, remember he used the word Erya a lot, Erom ve'Erya. Denuded. What will be denuded? Denuded here means uncovered. Now I'm going to start sneezing. So, Erya Ta'or Kashtecha, your keshet, your bow, will be totally revealed, uncovered, denuded. You have to tell me what the bow is, but don't answer right now. Shvuot matot, Omer Sela. The shvuot, the vows that you made, and matot here is shvatim. The vow that you made to the shvatim is what you are thinking of. Sela, we have another Sela, an ending in the middle of a pasuk. Neharot Tivaka Aretz. And the rivers, at a certain point, instead of being dried up, will come back full force and split the land. Just like, that's easy to understand, just like when we crossed Yam Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dried it for us, and then when as soon as we got out, it all came back again. So that we understand there's something here about, all of the rivers are going to be dried up. The Navi says, what is it? You don't like the rivers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But no, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it just for Am Yisrael, so they come back from the lands that they're exiled in. Because at a certain point, he is going to bring the water back again. What's with the Keshet? That he promised, that he made a Shavu'ah. And here you also have to know a little from the another Navi. You know that in Yeshayahu, and we read the Haftorah of Parshat Noach, it has that Haftorah from Yeshayahu, and it's, we also read the same Haftorah in the 7 weeks, the Shiva de Nechemta, that we read between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. And we read that interesting pasuk, Ki Mei Noach Heimli. It's just like the waters of Noach. And the Navi Yeshayahu says, it's just like the waters of Noach, that just like I swore that I would never bring a flood to the world again, or destroy the world by flood again, in the same way you can trust me when I say that there will be a geula for Am Yisrael. That's the Yeshayahu, Kimei Noach, namely. Yeshayahu says, the reason he uses that expression is just like when you see the rainbow, when you see the Keshet, you know that I made this promise. You see that Keshet, and you know that no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, that he would not bring a flood that would destroy the world again. So you may trust that I will never destroy Am Yisrael, and there will be a geula. So what he's saying here, similarly, you can really see, remember we talked about the effect that Yeshayahu had on the Nevi'im of this generation, on Nahum and Habakkuk specifically, because they were probably part of his Beit Midrash. The words of Yeshayahu are very strong in the mind of Habakkuk. He hears them, he sees them, he knows them. And so he knows that Yeshayahu said it's just like the waters of Noach. He says he is going to uncover the Keshet. He's going to let us see what that really meant, that vow he made to the Shvatim, to Am Yisrael. That vow he made was what? That he's not going to destroy the world by water. He controls the water. He dries up the rivers when Am Yisrael have to go back to their land, just like Yeshayahu said. And he lets the waters go again, full force, when he has to destroy the enemies of Yisrael, just like he did at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's exactly the same idea. So the Keshet here is the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control, the control over nature. I'm not going to just let nature be rampant again, like I did when we had the flood, the original flood. Do we have time for another pasuk? Ra'ucha yachilu harim. When this is going to happen, when the mountains see you, then they will be yachilu, they'll rejoice, right? They will rejoice, the harim will rejoice. Zerem mayim avar. It's as though a flow of water passed them. Natan tahom kolo Rum Yadehu Nasa. The Tahom, the depths themselves, will give forth their voice. It's as though the depths of the waters become like actors in the drama. The depths of the waters give out a roar, and they say, yes, we're going to now rise up again and swallow up an enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically what it's saying, when the mountains see that this is happening, that the waters are coming back, they're going to rejoice. And meanwhile, the very depths of the waters take action. They rise, they give forth their voice and lift up their arms to really cover the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All this is supposed to happen at the time of Geula, when there will be overt miracles. This is repeated again. It's just a few more psukim. We have, actually we did half of the perek. And he's going to go through this idea again. The idea that after the time of Galut, there will be a revelation of Hashem's power. There will be an overt revelation, just like there was at the time of Kriyat Yamsuf. And it will be totally the opposite of all of those years in which, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a long time was totally silent. And the only time, from time to time, we would see a little glint of a miracle where Hashem just showed us that he's still there, that the Hashgacha was still there. That's Chavakuk, my friends. And we have half a perek to go. Toda rabah.